Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Leonard Bernstein's creative gifts seemed to know no boundaries. He moved easily from the podium to the piano, from the concert hall to Broadway to television. His young people's concerts introduced an entire generation to classical music. His West Side Story became a cultural touchstone. His work as a conductor put him at the center of American musical life and carried his impact around the world. Yet the range of Bernstein's activities, as well as the informality and brashness of his public persona, may have obscured his stature as a creative artist. In the new book, Leonard Bernstein, which is just out from Yale University Press, award-winning composer and writer Alan Shaun places Bernstein's work as a composer at the center of a vivid account of his life. Again, the book is Leonard Bernstein, an American Musician. It's part of the Jewish Lives series from Yale University Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alan Shaun to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe.
What brought you to wanting to explore this life in the manner of which you did?
This book came about really as an assignment. My previous books have all come out of obsessions of mine. And I can't say that this one did. It was the result of Eileen Smith, an editor at the Jewish Lives series, calling me and saying, what do you feel about writing a book about Leonard Bernstein? My previous music book had been about Arnold Schoenberg. And it didn't take too many minutes for me to realize that it would be absolutely fascinating to write about somebody as so different from Arnold Schoenberg, and not to mention so different from myself. And, of course, I grew up in the Bernstein era, and I was one of those young people who watched the young people's concerts and attended them. And yet I had not been a huge devotee of Bernstein, and I didn't know his music that well. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity, and let's hope I bond with my subject. And I said yes.
Mm.
And I did bond. You know, it's no fun to write a book that involves this amount of research and work if you don't get excited about your subject. And I became increasingly admiring of Bernstein in all of his creative aspects, and of his intelligence and integrity and the quality of the impact he had. You know, we talk about people being well known. That doesn't mean that the effect they have on people goes very deep or is terribly meaningful to think about later. The converse can be true, that because someone is well known and a part of our lives, particularly through television and the media, we can sometimes not realize how great they really are, precisely because they are popular and seemingly ubiquitous, as Bernstein was and remains. Even now, you know, years after his death, his face reappears on our screens all the time. And behind all that, the public person and this very glamorous figure, I found someone of enormous substance, fantastic intelligence, and much greater originality than he's sometimes given credit for being.
And let's talk about that, of what he's sometimes credited as being, because that's what I found so fascinating about the book, is that there is such intensity and complexity and charm there, and you paint a very whole picture of this man. So you were setting out to do something a bit different.
Yes, I actually avoided reading a lot of the books about him until I had begun to develop my own point of view. I deliberately took the tack that I'm going to write about what I find in this person, and I'm going to write about what interests me. And to be honest, Joe, I'm not terribly interested in the story of how someone becomes well known and what the character of their fame is. I'm interested in music. I'm interested in literature and the other arts. I'm interested in politics, and I'm interested in serious things. And what I found in Bernstein was plenty to study that was deeply serious. In fact, I came to the conclusion that as incredibly outgoing as he was, and he was someone who externalized his emotions in an extraordinary way, more than just about anybody, and as warm and passionate as his interactions were with individuals and with the public, that there was an equally strong internal life there that was almost hard to imagine, because the external life was so vivid. Bernstein frequently said this himself to reporters. He would say that he was, he led a kind of double life, that he was a kind of split personality, that he was, on the one end, he was driven to perform, he was driven to, as I say at the end of my book, share music with everyone, to communicate, to proselytize in a way for music everywhere he went. He was driven to do that, but at the same time, he had an equally strong need to retreat into himself and to contemplate. And it's hard to believe that when you see someone who is that much of an extrovert, and yet that's what I found. I find it in the scores. Bernstein was a very fastidious person. We sort of forget that because in some ways he was such a show-off, and he would say whatever came into his head, and he would sometimes embarrass people, or even in his later years frequently embarrass people. But if you look at the scores, if you look at his writing, this was someone who was very meticulous. And there's a purity about the actual composing. I'm a composer, and that's what I look at first, is what he wrote. And when you look at those scores, they're written with tremendous care and conscientiousness and a kind of purity of impulse. So he had the ability to distill when he spoke, to take very complicated things and mediate between them and the audience. And he also had that in his compositions. He was able to hit just the right notes and strip away unnecessary elements in his pieces. As a result, they have a naturalness that was completely at odds with the tenor of the times from a musical point of view, at least in academia. What might have been easy to miss how beautiful and original those pieces were.
You write in the book, and this, to your point a moment ago, about the lives that he was leading, the effect of West Side Story on Bernstein's subsequent life and the way he was viewed by the general public, the Broadway audience, and his peers in the classical music world cannot be overestimated. You write later in the chapter, it is no wonder he felt he was leading many lives simultaneously. And to further the point, this is a work in progress, as we all are in life, that he was changing. He was reacting to the success that he was having.
Oh, absolutely. And I think he craved a certain kind of success. And, you know, there's that wonderful story I told early in the book where he's talking to the young Harold Shapiro, wonderful composer. They were pals as young people. And they were talking about what they most wanted in life. And Bernstein said, "I want the whole world to love me." And I think he did crave love and attention. But as I say, what he wanted to discuss with people were deep things. He wanted to talk about the inner life. That's the paradox of the guy, that even when he's speaking to children on the young people's concerts, he's trying to reach them on a very deep level. He's sort of appealing to their souls in a way that is very hard to... It's almost hard to believe when you watch it, because this is not commonplace among people who teach the young, or certainly it's not commonplace on television. You know, he wants to talk about Gustav Mahler to these kids, and he wants to talk about what intervals are and musical forms are. He wants to recite poetry to them. That was the nature of the man.
What do you hope people ultimately get out of your biography and looking at this life?
Well, that's a good question. I would like, I think it's very hard when somebody is alive to get perspective on them. There's jealousy, and in case of Bernstein, there must have been enormous jealousy on the part of other conductors and composers and so on. And people were talking about his political views and his lifestyle and all of that. It's hard to step back and take a look at somebody in a fair way when they're alive. So I guess I would hope to have an impact on the way he's thought of now and the way he's remembered, and to draw attention to some of the great things he did that we can actually learn very important lessons from, such as his way of teaching and his way of viewing music, and just to draw attention to the quality of his work and his thinking, and you know, I think to draw inspiration from it.
The name of the book is Leonard Bernstein, an American Musician. It is published by Yale in their Jewish Lives series from Yale University Press. Alan Shaun, a great pleasure to have you on the program as always. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. Pleasure for me too.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Leonard Bernstein by Alan Shaun. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.